All right, Rabosai, good morning. Good morning. Let's begin. So we are picking up. Today's daf is Kuf Samech Beis. It's like a dafala today, a little dafala. All right, so today's daf is Kuf Samech Beis, 162. We are picking up Kuf Samech Aleph Amud Beis, 161b, second line up from the bottom. A beautiful gemara today. But so remember again, so this parak of Get Pashit is exceptionally interesting because although the beginning of the parak was really contrasting the Get Pashit with the Get Mukusher, but at the end of the day, we've now seen that we have opened this up to a general discussion about Shtaros, which Rabosai goes ahead and opens the doors for many relevant halachas. It's funny. So there was a chassan from the shul yesterday. So after the chuppah, so some of the chavra that was there, you know, when you read the ksuva now and you read Hakol Shor Vekayim, right? And again, we saw in yesterday's daf about Hakol Shor Vekayim, ultimately representing not just a nice couple of words, but a very important yesod in Shtaros, of ending off the Shtaros, so suddenly again everything takes on a brand new relevance. The verse is the following: V'tzarach sheyachzor. So second line from the so second to last line, Kuf Samechala from the days. V'tzarach sheyachzor meinyanu shel shtar b'shita achrona. And I will say the halacha with Shtaros is that you have to go ahead and review the document in the last line of the Shtar. If you take a look at the Rashbam says the following: V'tzarach sheyachzor. Zeu shanu kosim misof ashtar vikanina min ploni bar ploni leploni kechol ma de kosov umeforish leel. So the way a shtar would normally be written was there would be a one line summary of the shtar on the last line. So for example, the Rashbam is using the example of a havav alone document. So in the last line it would be, and Reuven ben Yaakov lent to Shimon ben Yosef so-and-so amount of money. You would go ahead and you would review it on the last line. Dehainu, shemefayu shekofala in akosav lemala, v'hai v'tzarech shiachzor haki mafarshin alei, v'tzarech shalei akosav asof ashtar b'shit achrona, shum davar chidish, v'shum tnai shashtar taluibo, sheno kosov lemala. Now the real point over here at the Gemara is making, now why do I need to review the shtar on the last line? Or why is there a need to do that? At the end of the day, the shtar is written clearly. Why they need to review everything. So Rabosai, it's not as much that we need the review. As we're going to see, it's more the fact that we don't want any new information written in the last lines of the shtar. That's the ikar over here. We want the shtar to close out with a chazara in order that no new information could be inserted in. Pesuk Gemara says, "Sheinu kasulam alufi shelo milman mishita achronik lefarish tekamon v'nimsa sheis kaim ashtar ha'elyon below atinai." The Yigba bo shelo kedin afa pishon is kaim atinai el bedvarim sheinonu tzarfam v'lomo mem yisayim shtaro kigom inyana shel shtar. Fine. So we're jumping out a little bit. So the Rashbam said the Gemara, so therefore, so go back to the Gemara. So therefore, v'tzarech shiachzor minyano shel shtar b'shita achrona. Therefore, halacha l'maaseh, again, we go ahead and we review, a quick review, the last line of the shtar is a quick review of the contents of the shtar. My time, so ask the Gemara, why do I need this? Or is why do I need this review on the last line? Rabbos like, kuf samech beis amud alif, amr revamram, lefi she'in lemeiden b'shita achrona. Because Rosh Avamrim says, because halacha lemaisa, we do not learn anything from the last line of the shtar. Or as Rosh said, that we do not want the last line of the shtar to contain any new information that would be necessary. And that's why the Rashbam, I read it quickly because we didn't get up to it yet in the Gemara. But that's why the Rashbam says, we don't want you putting in any kind of tenai, any kind of condition, or any type of transactionally specific information in that last line of the shtar. Now we'll discuss why we don't want any new information in the last line of the shtar. But therefore, again, in order to avoid any new information being inserted there, so we always have the last line of the shtar to just simply be a review of that which was previously expressed. Take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Amr Avamram, lefi she'in lemeidin mishita achrona. So the Rashbam says over here, mepnei she'in ha'edim yecholon lekarev chasimasan kolkach b'samuch, b'sof ashtar. Umanichan revach bein ashtar lechasimasan. We'll say, this is so amazing. You see, we'll say, what you would normally do is the following. You would normally go ahead, you'd have text, right? You have the shtar. What goes, again, talk about now, get pashit. What goes underneath the text? Signatures of the witnesses. So here's the problem. The problem is, ideally, you would want to see the witnesses to sign mamash like right up against the text in order to avoid what? In order to avoid anyone inserting any additional lines. But the Pasha is you often can't do that, only because, you know, people have different size signatures. And I will say today it's different because we have, you know, more pro forma documents. So you can have a lot of, but again, they're writing these things by Sofrim. So Lemaisa, again, you can't have the Edim writing right up, signing right up against the text. So usually there was some type of space in between there. So because there was some type of space, I will say there was a concern that someone could go ahead and insert some additional information. So how did Chazal prevent someone from just conveniently writing in another line? They made a rule, and the rule is we don't take into account that which is written in the last line of the shtar. So that even if someone were to go ahead and utilize that empty space between the signatures and the end of the text and write some new tanai in, so lemaisa again, we would not pay heed to that tanai. It's amazing. So the Rashbam goes on, he says the following. Umanichin revach, I'm in the Rashbam, third line down. Umanichin revach, bein ashtar l'chasim aso, v'yochol ha'adam l'zayif u'l'hosif bein sayim shita achos. Therefore, if somebody wanted to forge the document, he could insert a line in between the text and the signatures. V'hilchach, tikun rabbanon, lachzor me'inyono shol shtar b'shita achrono, levilti sheyichtov bad davar hatzarech. So we'll say, this way Chazal instituted, here's what you should do on the last line of the shtar. Just review the document. Why? Because since essentially they both say that last line is a filler. Why is it a filler? Because we're not learning anything new from it anyway. So just use it as an opportunity to review the major details of the shtar. The vilti shiichta badavra atar shari im zaifa bahosifa la'achar zman ein anu mafsidin klum im lo nilmat heimenu shari kvar kosov kozet lemala. Because they both say if it's just a review and not adding any new information. So then lemaisa again, if we don't learn from it, the shtar is not compromised at all. The gam im zaifu v'yosifu b'shita sachalak sha'achar inyono shel shtar she'b'shita achrona bein hashtar le'edim lo ma'ale v'lo morid shahari ein lemeidin mishita achrona u'b'she'in kat sobosei. So therefore again, if somebody were to go ahead and take advantage of that empty space in between the signatures and the end of the text, and they inserted, right, Reuven's borrowing $10,000 from Shimon, and Shimon decides to go ahead and add in there some additional tanai, some additional clause, I will say it doesn't matter because whatever's written on the last line of the shtar anyway, we don't take into account. Now the Rashbam just points out something very important over here. He says, "Ubishein kasuv b'shtar sharir v'kayemayri." So, both remember again, the Gemara does point out over here that we're dafka talking about a case where it doesn't say sharir v'kayem in the shtar. This is exceptionally important because we'll say if it doesn't say sharir v'kayem, if it says sharir v'kayem, so then lemaisa again that clearly ends off the shtar. Therefore, the Rashbam points out over here, and this goes back yesterday. We saw also that there were opinions who did not necessarily say that you require sharir v'kayim. So the Gemara is saying over here, just the Rashbam is pointing out that this shtar also works in a case where they're not writing sharir v'kayim. Fine. So we'll say, back up. So Rav Aram says, therefore, we review the shtar in the last line in order that no one could put in any additional information. In order that we not go ahead and, because we don't learn out anything from the last line of the shtar, therefore, just in case someone inserted some additional information or some additional tanai, trying to go ahead and create some kind of forgery, we avoid that issue altogether. Amri Rav Nachman Rav Amram. So let's listen to this. So Rav Nachman said to Rav Amram, so where do you know this from? Where do you know this idea that we go at? So we'll say, remember, there are two concepts over here. So the way the Gemara introduces this concept is v'tzarech sheyachzor minyano shel shtar. So the Gemara is setting it up, Rabosai, as a halacha in shtaros, that the last line of the shtar is always a review of the contents of the shtar. That's how the Gemara is setting this up. Rav Amram comes along and says the reason for that is it prevents forgeries. Meaning, because Rav Amram says, coming up like this, we're never going to pay attention to that which is written in the last line of the shtar. That's the principle here. Whatever is written in that last line, we are not going to pay attention to out of the concern that perhaps was an opportunity for someone to insert that in after the names were signed. Therefore, again, we fill the space
with a shtar review. We fill the space with a shtar review. So it's not that, I want to be clear, it's not that in principle we need a review of the shtar. We don't need a review of the shtar. The shtar is right there. But rather, again, it's filler in order to go ahead and prevent any kind of forgery. So Rav Nachman says, Rav Amram, where do you get this from? Where do you get this from? So also listen to this. Amar Lei Desanya. He said, I got it from the following. Hirchik es ha'idim shnei shitim min aksav. Pasul. Shita achos kosher. Because Rav says, Rav Amram says, because there's a b'raisa. What does the b'raisa say? If you distanced the signatures of the witnesses, two lines from the text. So ultimately, again, the document is pasul. But one line from the text, the document is kosher. To also take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Hirchik es ha'idim shnei shitim min aksav pasul. Im kasuv bo shor v'kayim. So let's remember again, this is all presupposing that it doesn't say shor v'kayim in the shtar. Because let's remember again, if it says shor v'kayim, hakol shor v'kayim in the shtar, then what? Then we'll say, remember, as we saw in yesterday's daf, you never have to worry about anything, because hakol shor v'kayim, that statement says, we're done, we've closed out the shtar, there's nothing more to discuss. Anything that's written after a kol shor v'kayim is obviously what? Is obviously a forgery, right? Is obviously added in afterwards. So we'll say, so again, the Rashi just points out over here, we're not writing a kol shor v'kayim. Afilu yesh edim shlono safo davar ziyuf mikom makom hay shtar chaspa ba'amu. Now we'll say, now the Rashi is pointing out something very important. If you leave, Rashi is saying, if you leave two lines of open space between the text and the signatures of the witnesses, ultimately, again, the shtar is going to be pasul. Now, says the Rashbam, this is true even if you know with absolute certainty that there's no forgeries, the shtar is 100% good. Both parties to the shtar agree to the authenticity of the shtar. The shtar is still not good. Why? Shelo nase ketikun chachamim. It's very important you sowed. Why? Because we'll say when it comes to rabbinic law, the halach is we'll say that if you don't toe the line, if you don't go ahead and live by the framework, then ultimately your actions are meaningless. Chazal told us how to write the shtar. If I don't write the shtar in accordance with the framework of Chazal, then what? As Rashbam says, it's chaspa ba'amu. Chaspa means what? It's a pottery shard. It's nothing. So if you depart from the established framework and you leave two open lines, then lemais, again, the shtar is not good. See, if you leave two open lines, the shtar is puzzle. If you leave one open line, the shtar is okay. What's the chilik, says the Gemara? What's the chilik? So the Gemara says, Mashna shnei shetin. Why, if you leave two lines open? So ultimately, again, why is the shtar puzzle? Dilma mizayif. Because of shita achos, excuse me, so the Gemara says, because maybe if you leave two open lines, what's going to happen? What's going to happen, Rabbi Say, is that maybe someone could insert some additional tanai, some additional information after the shtar was already signed. To which the Gemara says, I don't understand. Shita achos nami mizayif akasiv. But even if he leaves one line of open space, someone could come along afterwards and what? Insert some additional information. Halalav shmamina, ein lemeidin mishita achrona shmamina. Rather, Rabbi said, what do you see? You see that we do not learn from the last line of text in a document. And therefore, Aloch Lamais Rabbi said, if the ultimately, again, there's one empty line left, and someone decides to put a forgery of text in there, I mean, I'm not going to say it's okay, it's not okay, but it doesn't impact anything. Why? Because we don't pay attention to the last line of text, because Rabbi said, in any shtar, we always recognize that that last line could have been an add-in. Why? Because there's always inevitably a space between the signatures and the text itself. Therefore, in lemeidin mishita achrona, we do not go ahead and learn from the last line. That's why in a normal shtar, the way we'll use up that space of the last line is how? Is to go ahead and do a review of the shtar. Well, so I just say something beautiful. The Sefer Ikarim, Rav Yosef Albo, writes the following. He says that we actually learn this concept from Moshe Rabbeinu. So what's the pshat? He said, listen to this. Shehizkir Moshe b'sof parashas ha'azinu, kisharot alach tom ha'torah, amar simu levavchem l'chol ha'dvarim asharanochi meyid b'chem hayom. So we'll say, ultimately, again, what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? In parashas ha'azinu, Moshe Rabbeinu is machzir me'inyono shel shtar b'shita achrona. So we'll say, parashas ha'azinu is Moshe Rabbeinu's official last speech to Klal Yisrael. And what does Moshe Rabbeinu do in Parshas Ha'azinu? he effectively reviews the Torah in its entirety. The Sefer Kem goes on, he says, Ki lo davar reku mikem, ki uchayechem, ubedavar hazeh tarichu yomim al ha'adama, v'zeh kimo sheh v'chol shtar kiyum davar, tzar sheyachzor minyano shal shtar b'shita achrona, kach, so we'll say, just like the Sefer Kem says something so beautiful, just like in every shtar, you have to use the last line to review all that which was written in the shtar. Kach kasav Moshe ben Alav Hashalom dekan dvarim halalu lirmos al shnei minei haschar hamusagim itzana Torah. Haschar haruchni vaschar hagashmi. So also without going into the whole thing, but he says so beautifully that Parshas Ha'azinu is merames to the fact that Torah gives us, Rabbi say, life in this world, and Torah gives us life in the next world. That is the essence of Torah. With Torah, Bosa, you have a meaningful existence here, and you have an eternal existence in Olam Haba. That's the essence of the Torah in its entirety, and Moshe Rabbeinu reviews those concepts in Parshas Ha'azinu. So beautifully, the Sefer HaRikarim writes that Moshe Rabbeinu was mekayim this halacha of tzarech shiyachzor me'inyano shoshtar b'shita achrona. So beautiful. Bosa, I'm amazed. Ibayiluhu. So the Gemara goes weiter. Iboy Luhu, Gemara raises a kasha. Shita umech tzamai. So we'll say, of course, we knew this was coming. So now what we've established is the following. We have a halacha that tells us that we do a chazara, we review the shtar, we review the contents of the shtar in the last line of the shtar. Fine. Therefore we'll say, and why? That is motivated. That review, or I should say, is necessitated by the principle of Ein Lemeidin Mishita Achrona. Since we can't learn any new information from the last line anyway, else the concern that perhaps it's a forgery, therefore we just put in a filler, and the review is the filler. Okay? Therefore we also saw the Braisa that said, that's why if the Shtar leaves two lines open, then what Rabbi will say? What's the status of the shtar if you leave two lines open at the end? Shtar is puzzle. Why? Because we also remember, what does two lines allow you to do? Two lines allows you to put in one line of forgery, right, and still leave one blank. So you can get away with the forgery at the end of the day, which is problematic. If you leave one line blank, then that's going to be okay, because anyway, whatever you write in that line is inconsequential. To which leads the Gemara to say, okay, nu ibailu shitu mechtzamai. What about one and a half? What about one and a half lines open? Right, so what's the status of one and a half lines? So the Gemara says, Tashma. So we'll say, because we learned. Here, so we'll say, I just want to tell you something also that's very interesting. It's also just a different societal reality. You say to yourself, one line, one and a half lines, two lines, why are we getting into this? Just write a new shtar. So you have to understand, you know, we live in such a disposable society. So understand from the Gemara's perspective, you know, parchment is parchment, right? And people's times, and these are not resources that are just automatically renewable and replenishable. So these kind of questions came, I just want to be clear. The Gemara is not asking this because like Chazal said, oh man, you know, Kuf Samech Beis Al Mod Aleph was so short, I need some filler information for Kuf Samech. I'm just asking this question. I mean, this is Metzias thicker questions. So Shita Umech Tzamai, what happens if Lameis at the end of the day, I left one and a half lines blank on the shtar? So I'll say, I know that leaving one line blank is okay, two lines blank is not okay, possibly the shtar. What about one and a half lines? So the Gemara says, Mai, Tashma. So we'll say we learn the following. If a person goes ahead and distances the witnesses from the shtar, two lines, suppose there's two lines of open space between the text and the signatures of the witnesses, puzzle. Ultimately, again, I know that such a shtar is puzzle. Ha shita umechza. But I will say, if I go ahead and I leave behind there, I leave over one and a half lines, kosher. So we'll say, so what the Gemara is suggesting over here is the following. The fact that the previous price has said that if I leave two lines open, so ultimately what? If I leave two lines open, the shtar will be pasul. We'll say, I could infer from that what? It's only two lines that pasul the shtar, but one and a half lines ultimately again will be okay. So here's the problem. Ema seifa. But yeah, look at the end of that braisa. Shita achas kasher. So what's the end of the braisa? Said that if I leave one line open, the shtar is kasher. I could infer from that. Shita achas udi kasher. It's only one line that's kasher, meaning one open line is kasher. Ha shita umechza pasul. If I went ahead and I left open one and a half lines, it would be pasul. Therefore, says the Gemara, you're right. Elo meha leka lemashma mine. Which the Gemara says, you're right. was that I can't learn anything else from this brisa. In other words, I thought I could learn it out from the previous brisa by inferring. The problem is the resha, which tells me that one line. The resha that tells me that ultimately again. The resha tells me that shnei shit in this puzzle seems to indicate that shito mechza is okay, but yet the sefer that says that one line is kosher seems to tell me that one and a half lines will be puzzle. Therefore, the Gemara says, I can't infer any kind of conclusions from the braisa. To which the Gemara says, okay, my havi halach. What is the halacha? What is the halacha if you leave one and a half lines of open space in a shtar? Is the shtar good or not? So we'll say tashma. This is actually amazing. Disanya. If you went ahead and you distanced the witnesses two lines from the text, so the shtar ultimately again will be puzzle. Will be puzzle. Pachos mikan kosher. We'll see here. Yeah, I seem to have an explicit brisa. The brisa says anything less than two lines, ultimately the shtar will be kosher. Take a look at the Rashbam. The Rashbam says second line from the top. Pachos mikan kosher. Dahainu shita umechza. That ultimately, again, I will say, so you infer from this brisa is quite explicit. If you leave two lines of open space, then the document will be puzzle. One and a half lines, the document will be kosher. So I'll say, so I'll tell you something interesting. There's the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer brings up an interesting kasha when it comes to Lechem Mishnah. So when it comes to Lechem Mishnah, I'll quote to you, it says, the Chassam Sofer in Arach Chaim, Simen Mem Vav, quoting from the Minchas Yaakov, that the Minchas Yaakov writes that for Lechem Mishnah, it would be enough if one had one and a half loaves. One and a half loaves. So why? Because the Minchas Yaakov seems to be indicating that Lechem Mishnah doesn't have to mean two whole loaves, rather it means two things. Two things. Lechem Mishnah said, anything more than one loaf, by definition, is going to satisfy the criteria of Lechem Mishnah. So the Chassam Sofer deals with this, and he says something interesting. See, quotes here, I quote this to you. He says, Hevim Minchas Yaakov, Timeikar Adin Hayadai B'Lechem Mishnah, Lechem V'chatzi V'lo B'yishan. So Minchas Yaakov actually paskins that Halacha L'Maisa, for Lechem Mishnah, you don't require two whole loaves. Rather, all you need is one and some. One and some. Quotes here from Maseches Brachas, the Kamar of Ashi, fine. So the Chassam Sofer says, lechalik dehechi diksivi dover belashon rabim, yeshlomar demiot rabim shnayim, v'kolal gam echad umechza. So we'll say, so interesting, if the Chassam Sofer says it depends. When something is written, when something is written or formulated in the plural, so we'll say the basic definition of plural of plurality is two. But two in that context, when it's Lashon Rabim, doesn't have to mean two whole things. Plural just means what? More than one. However, Kevan Shiyosim Echad, Avahechi Dichsiv Shnayim, O Mishneh, imkein vaday she'echad u'mechza einam shnayim. So we'll say, interestingly enough, however the Chassam Sofer says, whenever the halacha demands for shnayim, for two, two always requires what? Two complete units. Two complete units. Therefore, so here, again, there's much more to say about this. I'm not going to get into this now. But he writes over here, he says the following. So again, so if when the halacha formulates the need for rabbim, multiple things, so multiple could be one plus. That seems to be what the Minchas Yaakov understands. On the other hand, when the halacha demands two, so two by definition requires two whole amounts. Now, what's interesting about this is the following. So the Gemara says over here, and again, the raya from Bosai is over here. The raya the Chassam Sofer brings is, remember, what does the Braisa say? The Braisa says, Shnei shitim inaks hircheik esai edim, shnei shnitim inaks sav pasul. If you distance the witnesses from the ksav two lines, the shtaris pasul, pachos mikan kosher. The Bosai, what happens if you distance them one and a half lines? What's that loch? Huh? It's kosher. Why? Because two means two. Because Rabbi the Chassam Sofer says that whenever the halacha tells you that you need two, two requires a complete unit of two. Not one and change, but a complete unit of two. So shnei shitin means shnei shitin. Lechem Mishnah means two loaves. Interesting halacha. Fine. So the Gemara goes weiter. So now, so far, let's just understand what we have over here. So we've got number one, You have to review the Shah in the last line, right? You have to have a review of the Shah in the last line. Number two, no new information in the last line, and therefore by no new information in the last line, and therefore by extension, if you have a shtar that has two empty lines before the signature, the shtar is chasva ba'alma, it's a pottery shard, it's nothing, it's garbage, it's inconsequential. But if you leave one open line, the shtar is kosher, and apparently now, even if you leave 1.5 lines, the shtar will still be kosher as well. Good, let's go back there. Hayu arba'a v'chamisha idim chasum nasha. Let's listen to this. You have 4 or 5 witnesses who signed on a shtar. V'nimtza echad mehem karov apostle. And I will say, it turns out that one of the people who signed on the shtar was either a relative to one of the parties to the transaction, or was a apostle. Or who is someone who is ultimately, again, unable to give edus. So again, when we get to Sanhedrin, we'll discuss this a bit more extensively. He gambles. Or is a thief, right? Dishonest in business. Whatever it might be. He's something that ultimately, again, leads to the apostle. So we'll say, I have enough kosher witnesses on the shtar. I have enough. But lemaisa, again, there's somebody in there who is a karov or apostle. What's the halacha? Tiskayim edus bishar. So what's the halacha is that I can uphold the document with the other valid witnesses. Take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Take a look. The Rashbam is a little bit more expansive than what we're going to get to yet. But look at the Rashbam. Benim tzashnayim rishonim. Hayu arba'o chamisha edim chosum na lashar. Benim tzashnayim rishonim krovim. The Rashbam is quoting the Gersa of the Rabbeinu Chananel. That's a bit different than our Gemara. The Rabbeinu Chananel's version, the first two witnesses who signed, were found to be krovim or psulim. So the halacha is, ultimately, tiskayma idus bishtar. Perush. Im haya ben aksav leidim chalak kashir shnei shidin. Umile mokam achalak bekrovim ashtar. So it's like, the Rashbam is understanding this case to be a continuation of the previous case. What he's saying is like this. The silver ended the shtar, and what happens? There's blank space there. Now, we'll say, I want to use the shtar, so I don't want it to be possible. If I go ahead and the witnesses only sign below, then what's going to happen? The shtar is going to be possible, because any shtar that has 2 lines of empty space is going to be possible. So I have a great chap. What am I going to do? I'm at a family reunion. I'm going to get some family members just to fill in their signatures over here. I don't need them for edus. I have proper edus on the shtar. I just need their signatures as filler on the shtar. This is incredible. So what happens over here? So the halacha is, I want to be clear. This is not Pasha Pshat in the case. Pasha Pshat, meaning when you read this Gemara, how did you understand it? Again, simple idea. I just have a shtar, and whatever it is, I'm just filling up the space with additional witnesses. Lav Davka, that it's connected to the previous case. But Rashbam is connecting them, saying, no, I don't want to leave 2 empty slots. I don't want to leave 2 empty spaces there. So I have my relatives sign there. But I'm not having them sign Betoras Edus. I'm having them sign ultimately again just to close out the empty space. Therefore, again, so if just finished Rashbam, at least part of it. So it says we will see this shtar is kosher, and we will be mekayim, will uphold the shtar through the proper signatures. Fine. So we'll say, so let's go back to the Gemara now for just a moment. So how you are brother Hamisha Edim Chasumin al Ashtar, Vinimsa Echa Mehem Karov Apostle, Tiskaim Aidos Bishar. Fine. So Misayela Lechiskia. The Rebbe say this seems to support the view of Chiskia, because what does Chiskia say? Damar Chiskia Milouhu Bikrovim Kasher. The Chiskia says, the Rebbe say, if you fill up a document with krovim, in other words, it will say if you have a shtar. Now again, the Rashbam tries to understand which exact case is Chizkiya referring to over here. That's really important for our discussion. But the point that Chizkiya is saying is, if you go at Rabbos and you have a shtar, and you fill up that shtar with witnesses, in other words, I have my 2 witnesses necessary to go and uphold the shtar. But it happens to be that I go ahead and I fill up the shtar just with other signatures, just in order literally to fill up the document. The halacha is that the document is kosher. So the Gemara says, Va'al tatama. Now, Rabbi Yossi, here's what's fascinating. If you go with the Rashbam's understanding, Rabbi Yossi, I'll tell you something that's amazing, which is, according to Chizkiya, let's play this out. If I have a shtar, let's go with the Rashbam, that this case is a continuation of the previous case. So what did we establish previously? I write a shtar, there's 2 lines of open space. What's the halacha? Puzzle. So now Chizkiah comes on, Rabbi Osai. Chizkiah comes along and says, listen, there's a very easy remedy. What's the easy remedy? Just fill up the empty space with signatures, even of people who are not good witnesses. So we'll say, isn't that interesting? That here, empty space will passel the shtar, yet signatures of passel witnesses will validate the shtar. It's just an interesting. It's just an interesting dynamic. Now, Rabbi Osai, it's not. It's intuitive. Why? Because the goal over here, Rabbi Osai, is what? To avoid forgeries. So to avoid forgeries, whether you're signing your relatives or you start drawing pictures, it doesn't make a difference. The point over here is that we want that space filled in. So therefore, again, Rabbi Osai, the novelty that's being expressed over here is empty space is worse than invalid signatures. So the Gemara says, "Well, Alta Tama." The Rabbi Osai, just so you understand, again, and we're going back, but the Rashi points out there's another interesting yisod over here, which is the novelty here, Rabbi Osai, is when you have, let's say, five witnesses, four witnesses signing on a shtar. Two of them, I will say, are my relatives, and therefore pasul for edus. Now, remember again, one of the principal concepts by edus is edus shebatla miksasa batla kula. So I will say, when witnesses sign on something or they testify to something, they are considered to be one cohesive testimonial unit. Which then means what? That as soon as one is disqualified, then what? The whole unit is disqualified. Both said the novelty is that does not apply over here. In a situation where it's clear that the extra signatures of my witnesses are not there for testimonial purposes, but are rather only there for what? Filler purposes, then halacha lemaisa, again, their presence in no way undermines the effectiveness of the shtar. The Rabbi said, look what the Gemara says, this is amazing. Ve'al tetama, look at the Rashbam. Ve'al tam izah chilek, ki biyos achilek hashtar, pasol, so I said, listen to this. So says the Imar, and don't be bewildered by this idea that if the space is empty, the shtar is going to be pasul, but yet if there are pasul witnesses there, the shtar is going to be kasher. The Imar says, I'm going to tell you that we find this dynamic elsewhere. Well, said, this is amazing. Share, well, said, this is very exciting. You know why? Abir sukkah, we're about to learn about sukkah. Right, the boss, like I said, Erev Shabbos, it's almost Elul, which is almost Rosh Hashanah, which is almost Sukkis. Right, and here, look at this. Right, we get to feel this now a little bit. We get to sit in the sukkah together for just a few moments. So you should have Avir Sukkah. The boss say, airspace. Airspace in the sukkah, the boss say, post, listen to this. Avir Sukkah, post of Shosha. The boss say, the halacha is, if you have more than three tefachim of open space in your schach, that invalidates the schach, right? More than three tefachim. Less than three tefachim, Rabbi Osei, we rely on what? Lavut. Right? If it's less than three tefachim, halacha Moshe Mitzrayim says, let any space less than three tefachim is considered to be closed. So if you have three tefachim or more of open space, that invalidates the schach. Yet, let's say, listen to this. Yet, schach posel, posel ba'arba. Yet, Rabbi Osei, amazingly enough, if you have schach pasul, right, let's say I have schach, and in the middle of my schach, I have some schach pasul. So we'll say this again. By the way, this can happen all of the time. Where a person has schach, and then I have some open spaces, I want to fill the open space with schach pasul. But we'll say schach pasul, invalid schach, only invalidates a sukkah at a shear of what? Dalit tefachim, four tefachim. Isn't this interesting? Open space, ultimately, again, invalidates with three tefachim. Yet, pasul schach only invalidates, ultimately, again, with four tefachim. So I would say there's a lot to be said about this as well. Meaning the yesod is that the most important thing in life is ultimately to fill the spaces, to fill the gaps. Sometimes you can't always fill the gaps initially with the right things. But the empty space in life, the voids in life, for both say, sometimes the most destructive and most harmful things. We'll see this expounded on a bit more in just a bit. So we'll say the idea over here is what? That we see that halacha lemaisa, sometimes that which is empty presents a greater challenge than that which is filled with psul. So lemaisa, again, same thing. So the same way that tzchach, abir, pasul with gimel tefachim, be'etzchach, pasul is dalet tefachim. So we'll say same thing over here. the shtar itself could become possible with two lines of empty space, but you could go ahead and you could add in the relatives, and as long as they're just filler, it doesn't invalidate the shtar. So let's just do one more line. Ibailu shnei sheet and shamru. We'll say these two lines that we spoke about. So we'll say the one thing that everybody agrees with is two lines of empty space in a shtar ultimately will invalidate the shtar. So shnei sheet and shamru. Hein top of kuf samach gimel. Hein va'aviron. So we'll say, remember again, each line of Osai, a line has its line, and then there's a little bit of space in between each line. So when we say that two lines of empty space pass the shtar, so we'll say, is that just the two actual lines of text, or is that the two lines with the corresponding space in between? So the Gemara says, hein odilma hein v'la'aviron. Also, it doesn't include the space in between the lines or not. Mistabra. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak says it's mistaber. It seems to be clear that it's both the lines as well as their airspace. Why? Because we'll say ultimately again, if you want to say that it's just the lines without the space in between the lines, then shita achos below avira lamaychazya. Then I will say again, one line without its corresponding space right in between. What good is that going to be? And of course, we know that one line of empty space ultimately is going to be kasher. Elo shmamina hein va'aviran shmamina. Rather, Rabbi, I learned from here that what? That when we say that two lines of empty space pasul in a shtar, ultimately, again, it's not just the two lines, but rather it's the two lines and the corresponding space in between the two lines. Right, so we'll stop over here. We'll pick up with Rabbi Shabbat tomorrow. Just a reminder, tomorrow is a legal holiday, so it is a Sunday schedule. So again, first meeting is 7:15. That will follow the first meeting approximately a few minutes before 8 o'clock.
Why being on that last line, because we don't the last